The rest of the crowd should be getting here in the next 30 minutes. We're glad that you're here. I am what I am by the grace of God. God's unmerited favor. The man of one subject, the Apostle Paul, said, I'm determined not to know anything among you save Jesus Christ and Him crucified. God forbid that I should glory save in the cross. And for by grace are you saved through faith, and that faith is not of yourselves. It too is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. This grace message, what a powerful message it is. And oh, how different in this sense that it was not your works, it was His, working in you both to will and to do of His good pleasure. Who maketh thee to differ from another? If you're here today and know the Lord Jesus Christ, it was God who made you to differ. You're no better than your sister who is without Christ, or your brother, or your parents who are without Christ. It is amazing grace, and indeed a sweet sound. I'm not ashamed of the gospel, for the gospel is the power of God unto salvation. The gospel we preach is a gospel that is shamed by many, but it is not a gospel of shame. On a hill far away stood an old rugged cross, the emblem of suffering and shame. But it was on that old cross that the Lord Jesus suffered and died in the sinner's stead and room. Who maketh thee to differ from another? And what hast thou that thou didst not receive? Now if thou didst receive it, why dost thou glory as if thou didst not receive it? Aren't you glad you're different in this sense, that He made that difference in you? There's a big difference between the two, a gospel that's shamed and a gospel of shame. The gospel of the Bible is not a gospel of shame. It's a gospel of power. And I hope we can see that today in the discourse. I have heard many times what I thought to be a shameful gospel. I don't believe I have ever been ashamed of the gospel. I don't think I have. There has been times while listening to a pastor, preacher, evangelist, or even a Sunday school teacher that I've been ashamed of what they call the gospel. I've been made ashamed by a gospel preach, which in the book of Galatians, the apostle called another gospel. Say, I believe the gospel, I would say to you, which one? This morning, right now, across our country, there are preachers preaching another gospel, another Christ, another Jesus. A serious charge. It's a gospel of shame that they're preaching. And the apostle also said, those that come preaching another gospel are accursed of God. God's into this gospel of His Son, this gospel of grace, this gospel of substitution. God takes it serious. I hope you do too. It's the gospel of the glory, the gospel of the glory of God. The gospel is glorious. When you come to see it, it's not a ho-hum gospel. It's an awesome, wonderful, majestic, it's scandalous, as we've sung about today. that God so loved that he gave his only begotten Son to the Galatians. The apostle asked this: who has corrupted your minds? Who has bewitched you that you should remove yourself from him that called you unto another gospel, which is not another? Who has voodooed you from a single-mindedness in Christ? Can you say today, my hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness? I dare not trust my own. Do you know yourself to be complete in Christ? That all things are yours in Jesus Christ? Do you believe that he and he alone bear your sins in his own body on the tree and remove those sins? There are gospels that are being preached today that are an embarrassment to me. The gospel that is being preached, which says God would like to, but you won't let him, is an embarrassment to me. You won't let him? The Apostle Paul knew nothing about you won't let him gospel. He was, I'm not ashamed of the gospel, for it's the dynamite of God unto salvation. Or the gospel of the devil has a vote, God has a vote, and you cast a deciding vote is an absolute lie and embarrassment to me. It's an embarrassing message. It's a shameful message. Or how about this one? Preached all the time. Jesus died to give you a chance. Let me tell you, God is not a lotto God. He's not a rabbit's foot God. He's not a black cat God. He's not a luck God. He is the sovereign Lord of this universe. And I tell you this, I would be a fretful person if I believed it was chance salvation. Or how about this one? I've heard this one used a lot. God wrote the prescription, you have to fill it. God didn't simply write a prescription for poor dead sinners. He came into this world to save sinners, and the good news is he did it on the tree of the cross. Or this one, God is waiting for you. I have seen and watched preachers tune up, trying to break the heart of some. God is waiting on you. Feeling sorry for Jesus is not the same as bending the knee and confessing with the tongue that Jesus Christ is Lord. Jesus does not ask for your pity. He demands you bow and confess the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm glad God wasn't waiting on me. And I trust today that while the gospel is being preached, that Jesus Christ walks the aisles of this congregation and comes where you are. That's your only hope. He must come to you. There's another one that I've heard quite often. Jesus is knocking on your heart's door. You must get up and let him in. The doorknob is on the inside. Let me tell you, dead men don't walk, dead men don't talk, and dead men don't open doors. And you hath he made alive who were dead. You better hope the doorknob's not on the inside. You cannot save yourself. And that's where the gospel begins, that salvation is not of men. So what is the gospel? Here it is. Great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifest in the flesh. That's where you begin. God was manifest in the flesh. God invaded history. Isn't that something? Isn't that awesome? That God invaded history, that God condescended, that God came down to earth not to spy out your sins, but to deliver you from your sins. The Word has become flesh and tabernacled among us. How awesome. He has come to seek and to save that which was lost. And my friend, the good news is all he seeks, he saves. There were 99 safe in the fold, 99 sheep. One was lost. The shepherd left the 99, followed that lost sheep over the mountains of vanity through the slough of iniquity, lay hold on that lost sheep, put the sheep on his shoulders, and brought the sheep home. And guess who got the glory for the salvation of that sheep? There's nothing dumber than a sheep. Sheep are dumb. You can drop a dog off. I've told this story many times. We used to drop this dog off in Kentucky when I was growing up. My dad would drop the dog off. It was a stray to begin with. It would beat us home. But a lost sheep, they'll just keep on wandering. Thank God for a shepherd that seeks his sheep. The gospel is good news. Remember that. It's the power of God. It's good news. It's glad tidings. Don't get angry at this. His name shall be called Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. Not he might, not he's going to write a prescription. He shall save his people from their sins. So the gospel is good news. It's glad tidings. When you're sitting and listening to a preacher preach, judge him in that manner. Is he preaching good news? Is he preaching glad tidings for poor sinners? Who's getting the glory? That's the acid test. Who gets the glory? Give every testimony that acid test. I'm embarrassed by bragamonies. You didn't come to Jesus first. He came to you. And I understand some of the terminology. People say, I found Jesus. He wasn't lost. You were. And he found you. By the time you find him, he's already called you. He's already found you. He's already quickened you. He's already given you hope in himself. What is this salvation that the gospel so powerfully brings about? Listen to me now. The Apostle Paul is not speaking here in Romans 1:16 of the first event of conversion, but the final triumph of the gospel in bringing believers to eternal safety and joy in the presence of a holy and a glorious God. God doesn't simply bring you to conversion or grant you repentance and faith and then walks off. The salvation that is talked about here in Romans 1:16 is complete salvation. It is final salvation. Let me tell you, dear little elect of God, in the end, you win. What a shame it would be if God invaded history in the person of Jesus Christ, went up on Calvary, and died in the sinner's room, stead and place, and then one of those he died for not be in heaven. It would be a disgrace. I said it would be a disgrace. The Bible declares that he shall not fail. From the tree of the cross, Jesus said this, it is accomplished, it's finished, it's done. Do you believe that? I know that's true. Never has so much been said in so little. It's finished, it's accomplished. I have paid the debt. I have satisfied the justice of God. There is therefore now no condemnation to those that are in Christ Jesus. I am being saved. I have been saved. I'm being saved, and I shall be saved. I'm heaven bound. You see, one of the ways of avoiding this thing of shame, feelings of shame, is not by watering down the gospel. Don't water it down. So many are trying to clothe the gospel, preach it naked, preach it bare, strip it down. Christ died for the ungodly. Christ died for the harlot. Christ died for the drug addict. Christ died for self-righteous people who think they're better than others. Christ died for sinners. Make it plain. People say to me quite often, "You still preaching the old gospel?" Yes. Hell's hot. Unless you trust Jesus Christ, you're going. I'm not ashamed of this gospel. The gospel hope will not put us will not put us to shame. It is the gospel that gives boldness. Boldness in the day of judgment. The apostle talks about it in the book of Hebrews, that we might have boldness in the day of judgment. Can you imagine that? I heard all my growing up life that we were going to appear before the judgment seat of Christ, and we were going to be, you know, shaking and trembling because we knew what we did after we got saved. And God was going to bring it up on the movie screen and show all the things that we've ever done since we were converted. And it used to scare me to death. I was only 16 or 17 years old. I didn't want it shown on the movie screen. Do I have others here who don't want their... I thought so. This gospel will not put you to shame. It's a powerful gospel. It will remove your past, your present, and your future sins. It takes them all away. This gospel is what gives us boldness in this day of judgment, not shame. The gospel is a message of victory. It is good news. It is glad tidings. This is the very way that Jesus overcame shame. In Hebrews 12:2, it says, "For the joy that was set before him, Jesus endured the cross." In other words, he fixed his eye and heart on the results of the cross. The results is full salvation. The result is that not one of his elect shall be lost. "Lo, I and the children which thou hast given me." One day Jesus will say that. The Father will stand up and say, "Let's see." This is the Kent Clark rendition. I say, "Yes, they're all here, all present and accounted for." Amen. You don't have to be ashamed of that kind of gospel. Here is joy. Here is my victory. I'm not ashamed of the gospel, for I know that my Redeemer liveth. And though the skin worms destroy this body, yet in my flesh shall I see God. I shall see God for myself and not another. I know that in my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, he would have told me. He goes to prepare a place for me, that where I am, there I'm, where he is, there I may be also. I know that he has made me more than a conqueror. I know that there is victory in Jesus. I know that this is the gospel of greater is he that's in you than he that's in the world. You're going to overcome. I know that he gives his sheep eternal life, and they shall never perish, and they follow him. I know that he's working everything out for my good. I know that for whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate. Whom he predestinated, them he also called. Whom he called, them he also justified. Whom he justified, them he also glorified. Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? I am persuaded that neither life nor death, nor principalities nor powers, nor things present nor things to come, nor any other creature shall be able to separate me from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus. I know that there's no condemnation for me. I know that I will stand before him without spot or blemish or any such thing. I know the Lord my God is in the midst of us and he is mighty. He will save. He will rejoice over us with joy. He will rest in his love. He will joy over us with singing. So salvation here refers to not just our conversion, but final and complete salvation. Just rest and be comforted, little child of God. So you are here and you have relapsed. Pastor, I'm such a mess. I know. Jesus knows, and so am I. I mean, just look at this motley crew here. What a bunch we are. But listen to us laugh. Listen to us clap. Listen to our joy. Sense our joy. Much more than having now been justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. On the third day, up from the grave he arose with a mighty triumph o'er his foe. He arose a victor from the dark domains. Hallelujah, Christ arose. And he ascended back into heaven. And there I have a lawyer who sits at the right hand of God, who makes intercession for me. And the blood of Jesus Christ cries out, forgive him, forgive him, forgive her, forgive her, forgive her. And that precious blood shall never lose its power till all the ransomed church of God be saved to sin no more. Oh, there is a fountain filled with blood drawn from Emmanuel's veins, and sinners plunged beneath that flood lose all their guilty stains. One of my favorite stories is that of old Brother Barnard. He was driving an old Model T Ford, and he was out in Yellowstone Park. The thing broke down. Brother Barnard got out his white handkerchief, worked on that motor, got grease all over his hands, finally got the thing started with the crank. Some of you don't know about the crank, but you have to start them with a crank. He got that thing started, went on into the park to Old Faithful, where that gusher would spray up every hour on the hour. And there was a sign there back in that day that said, if you have any dirty cloth, if you drop it in right here, walk so many feet downstream and pick it up, the water will cleanse it. Brother Barnard said, I'm going to give it the test. He took out that handkerchief. He dropped it in the water, walked down so many feet, picked it up, and it was white as snow. And he began to sing, there's a fountain filled with blood drawn from Emmanuel's veins. 40 people were standing behind him. Some guy tapped him on the shoulder and said, may we join you? Brother Barnard said, yes. Dear dying lamb, thy precious blood shall never lose its power until all the ransomed church of God be saved to sin no more. Be saved to sin no more. You see, there is no need to be ashamed. This is a gospel of power. You need to see it, though, and I need to understand it, that it's a powerful gospel. You need to confess it. I will make it by the grace of God through the blood of Jesus Christ. I am heaven bound. This is the only gospel that saves. There's only one gospel, and it is good news. Lastly, the gospel is the power of God. It's the power of God. It's what frees us from being ashamed. I have never understood how you could not help be ashamed when the preacher was talking about Jesus who's trying and Jesus who wants to. Who is this that cometh from Bozrah with dyed garments on? I that speak in righteousness, mighty to save. That's in the Old Testament. I that speak in righteousness, mighty to save. Ephesians 1:19 says this, I want you to know, this is the Apostle Paul's prayer, I want you to know what is the exceeding greatness of his power to usward who believe. Oh, he made a believer out of you. You didn't make a believer out of yourself. It wasn't your genius. You didn't measure everything up and weigh everything out and give your heart to Jesus. I've always wondered this too. The Bible says the heart is deceitful and desperately wicked. What would Jesus want with your old heart? He'll give you a new heart and a new start. That's what he does. That you might know the greatness of his power to usward who believe according to the working of his mighty power. It took a mighty power to make a believer out of you. Oh, you'd believe in crack. You'd believe in heroin. Don't leave me here. You would run to that. But how about the one who died on the tree? The one who shed his blood. That you might have life. And not just have life, but have it more abundantly. How about this? I'm not ashamed of the gospel, for it's the power of God. What kind of power? Well, my God is able. My God is able. My God is able to do exceedingly, abundantly, above all that you ask or think. Just go hog wild and pig crazy about trusting God. He it was that went to Lazarus' grave. He it was that came to our grave. In this universal, worldwide cemetery, there is a Savior who finds his sheep. And when he finds them, they're dead. They're inactive toward God. They're not seeking God. And let me put it clearly to you. Your will is not free. You are enslaved to your nature. You have a depraved nature. You can choose life or death. And many in here have chosen death through shooting stuff in their veins, through snorting. You've chosen death. But now here you are. You throw all that stuff away. And God made a believer out of you. If anything I've learned in 30 years across the street, it takes power to save a crack addict. And right now we're battling this heroin demon. It's going to take a power. Sheriff Bouchard is not going to come up with the answer. The psychologist is not going to come up with the answer. Now they're saying it's a brain disease. Well, find a serum. Give somebody another shot and cure it if it's a brain disease. It's a sin disease is what it is. And that can only be broken by the power of Almighty God. But he's able. One day he walked out there in that cemetery, and Martha and Mary are explaining to him, Lord, by now he already stinketh. He'd been out there 4 days already. Lord, if you'd have been here early, this would never have happened to begin with. Roll the stone away. Lazarus! My sheep hear my voice, and I know them. Can you imagine Lazarus? He's all bound up. The scripture says he was bound from the top of his head to the bottom of his feet. And when God saves you, see, I know this. I know this for sure. Some of you God saves, and you've had the heroin spook and the crack spook and all of the other drugs, you're all bound up. You're all bound up. And when you come out of the tomb, when Jesus calls you, you come out like this. And then you sit under the gospel. And you hear the voice of Jesus telling others like Pastor Clark, loose him and let him go. Loose him and let him go. My chains fell off. And I was free, went forth and followed thee. Or how about this one? I like this story. There was a babe in the book of Ezekiel that was born, and it was laid in the open field. It was a reject. Laid in the open field to the wiles of nature. And this is an illustration the Lord gives of his grace. Its navel was not cut. It was bloody. It had not been washed or swaddled. But it was a time of love. And the Lord God came by and said to that babe, live! Can you hear your Savior calling today? Can you hear him calling? Is he calling you? Say, that's the strangest thing. I've only been over at the mission maybe a few days. This is my first time here, Pastor. I didn't even want to come this morning, but here I am, and something's happening on the inside of me. I'm kind of thinking maybe what you're talking about may be true. That there's power in the blood. That there's wonder-working power. That there's power in the precious blood of the Lamb. It's the blood that makes an atonement for the soul. And without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sins. Can you trust him today? Have you been enabled to trust him today? I hope you'll confess him today. He that did not spare his own son, but freely gave him up for us all. How shall he not with him freely give us all things? All things are yours. Yeah. And every Lord's Day I preach the gospel to you because you need to feed your faith day by day on the message that I have preached to you today. I point you to Jesus Christ. Brother Jim, I thought of this old hymn. I love to tell the story. I really mean it. I just say Clark preaches the same thing. If you've heard him once, you've heard him. That's right. Oh, you got it right. I love to tell the story for those who know it best. You heard all the clapping and laughing in here today. That's because they know the story. And when in scenes of glory I sing the new song, 'twill be the old story that I have loved so long. I love to tell the story. 'Twill be my theme in glory to tell the old story of Jesus and his love. The Spirit and the bride say, come. Let him that is athirst come. Are you thirsty today? Has the world become a desert to you? Is your life a desert place? Are you longing? Are you sick and tired of being sick and tired? Are you longing for rest? Here's the invitation, not given by me, but from Scripture. Come unto me, all ye that labor. Somebody said, oh, it's hard to be Christian. No, it's hard to be a crackhead. It's hard to be a heroin addict. It's hard. Are you tired of it? I read yesterday where only about 30% escape the addiction if they've been free for 5 years from it. I'm telling you this, if the Son sets you free, you're free indeed. Thank you. Because there's power. I don't believe that crack is more powerful than Christ. I don't believe that drugs are more powerful. I do believe they're demons. I believe the pharmacia is the work of demonic powers. I do believe that. But I also know this: greater is he that's in you than he that's in the world. So come to Christ without moving a muscle. Say, Pastor, do I have to come up front? No. No. There's nothing up here that's going to save you. Without moving a muscle, right where you are right now, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. Amen. Somebody was asking me again this week about, I don't understand all this predestination stuff, and you don't have to. That's not your concern right now. If you will do this, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, I guarantee you, if you will trust him, it won't be long till you get on this side of the door and look back and say, why, he chose me before the foundation of the world. Your business right now is not to figure out whether he chose you or not. Your business is to trust Jesus Christ right now, right where you are. And thou shalt be saved. And then you'll begin to find out some of the most wonderful things. You'll find out that when you were in the hood and you were tucking and rolling and they were shooting at you, that the reason you're not dead is because God loved you with an everlasting love. It's called, ooh, I want to preach. It's called prevenient grace. It's called grace. It's called grace before grace. Oh, the reason you're not dead is because God was gracious to you. His eye is on the sparrow and he watches over me. That's the truth. Now, right where you are, trust Christ. Joy, peace will flood your soul as you look to the Lamb of God and receive him. Let's stand and sing together.